You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. It's Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham, Dave Tindall with you, ready to look ahead to one of the big events of the golfing season. It's the WGC Dell Match Player Championship live from Texas this week, and it's a Wednesday start as well, so do bear that in mind, listeners. First of all, welcome along to Mr. Mike Grenham.
Hello, Dave.
And Mr. Dave Tindall.
Hello.
And first, as always, we'll reflect on what happened last week, Mike, and Jason Day back in the winner's circle. Didn't have brilliant form in Florida in the lead-up to the event, but won by one from Kevin Chappell last week.
Yeah, didn't really great course for him either, had he? So slightly unexpected that he bounced back to form there, but just shows where he's at in the world of golf these days. He was fantastic. Kevin Chappell was a little bit unlucky, I thought. I don't think he lost a lot of credit in that. It was just one of those things. So yeah, Jason Day, it's bubbling up beautifully for Augusta, which I know we're not talking about that this week, but they're really all the best players in the world are coming to the boil, so it's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a brilliant birdie on 17 from Jason Day, having not putted particularly well over the weekend, and then that sand save on 18 to seal the championship. And Jason Day, he was never really away, but he's definitely back now.
Yeah, I think so. Like Mike said, and you said, in Florida, his record was not just not good, pretty, almost very, very average for someone of his level. So I think a lot of people just missed him last week, didn't really think of him. He seemed one of the favourites you could strike a line through fairly early, but, you know, I guess it was inevitable he was going to improve that record.
And he's a different player now, isn't he, over the last 12 months?
Yeah, and you're kind of feeling, yeah, 12 months ago, he wouldn't have won that, would he? He would have found a way to come second this time. He looked always so he would win it.
Yeah, I think what we saw evident in that final round with him playing alongside Troy Merritt, Mike, is the benefit from a high ball flight in the States. Merritt hits the ball with a lesser trajectory than Day, and that helped Day out on numerous occasions in that final round. Evident to me from out of the rough where he could just stop the ball on a sixpence, whereas Troy Merritt doesn't quite have that capability.
Yes, we learned that Jason Day was better than Troy Merritt. It's quite a useful note.
I think I just mean on an American-style golf course, just being able to flight that ball so high is a massive It's a massive factor, isn't it?
Yeah, hitting it
even
long,
when you consider it with Graham McDowell or players like that, nature.
I know, I do know what you mean.
It's a massive thing for Augusta as well, obviously, which we're not talking about.
we can talk about it, but it does help over there, doesn't it? It does help.
Shall we get stuck into this week then? Because it's a big week in the golfing season with the Dell Match Player Championship coming up. The majority of the top players in attendance this week as well. The two names that aren't there are Jim Furyk, who's absent through injury, and Henrik Stenson, who's just decided the event doesn't really fit his schedule.
I wonder why.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? I don't know. He's
playing well, isn't he?
He's a law unto himself, isn't he, Stenson?
He is a bit.
I think he wanted to play all the Florida events. He didn't want to play another event in a row, especially one where you could just... I know it's not like before where you can go home on Wednesday, but he can probably pick and choose, can't he, with his money in the bank?
Mm. Yeah, it does seem weird that he's the only one.
No, he did win that $10 million, but he blew all his money before that, didn't he, in the whole Stanford thing.
Yeah.
But that's probably it, Dave. He's probably played quite a bit and then wants to get ready for Augusta.
Plus, he's coming back from that knee injury as well, isn't he? So he doesn't want to overdo it. Mm.
There have been a few changes made to this event throughout the years, Mike.
Yeah,
it used to be a straight knockout, and last year it became a round robin with the top player from each mini section advancing to the round of 16. And this year they've made a slight tweak where you don't get any more. Basically, you can half a match
you
in the knockout stages now. Where you couldn't.
The Friday was boring last year, wasn't it? Wednesdays used to be brilliant because a lot of big names used to get beaten. It was fascinating, wasn't it? And they'd go home after one day sulking, which is quite funny. But last year, they got to day three in this round robin thing, and there were a lot of players couldn't get through in matches. Yeah. It was a little bit tedious and meaningless. So I think that was down. That's why they tweaked and put the draw in it, haven't they? So hopefully that will help. make it a bit more interesting on the Friday.
Yeah. I suppose the theory with going to the round robin is that the big names should, in theory, go through.
That's the idea,
because
isn't it,
they get to play those three matches.
Makes it more difficult for the lesser players to beat the good players over three rounds rather than one, I guess.
As for the venue, we've got a change of venue this year, Dave. We're in Austin, Texas for this event, and I've seen a clip with Jimmy Walker suggesting that finding the fairways and wedging the ball well are keys to this Pete Dye design track, and I think the fact that it is a Pete Dye design means you can maybe make correlations with some of the other venues that host PGA Tour events that are Dye designs.
Possibly, I would say more it's in Texas and it's not very long, like some of the Texas courses, and it's going to be windy. I think they're the
keys.
The things I would take. If you look at, there's four tournaments played in Texas. I looked at the last 10 winners of each. A lot of Aussie winners, you know, because a lot of them base themselves there. But a big reason that they win, it's dry and it's windy, like they're used to from back home.
Yeah. We're going to go through it bracket by bracket then.
Lovely job.
Chaps, and then we'll get the definitive selections towards the end of the podcast. I like Jordan Spieth in that top bracket. We'll start straight off. The prices here with William Hill: Rory McIlroy 10-1. I mustn't forget those. Rory McIlroy 10-1. Jason Day 12-1. Jordan Spieth is 12-1. Adam Scott 14s. Bubba Watson 16-1. Ricky Fowler 16-1. Dustin Johnson 22s. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. That top section, the likes of Spieth, Oosthuizen, Patrick Reed, Phil Mickelson, that's a good looking group in there as well. But I came up with Spieth from this top section just because of the link with Texas, the fact that he's got a nice looking group in my opinion in there with good friend Justin Thomas, Victor Dubuisson and Jamie Donaldson, a couple of players out of form at the moment. I just thought that was a nice group for him. He's 5-5 his match play record, but 5-2 in the WGC Championship, so I think Spieth might advance to the quarterfinals there.
Well, I've gone for another guy.
Semifinals.
I've gone for another guy in that bracket, Dave. That's a Texan born in Texas, Patrick Reed. Unfortunately, he's been drawn with one of the outsiders that I quite like, Matt Fitzpatrick, but in the same group even. But I've got to say that Reed's probably a better player. Well, he is a better player than Fitzpatrick at this stage of his career. Good scrambler, Reed. I just believe he's got that mentality to be a really top match player. 7th in the Valspar last time out, a couple of average starts before that, so he has been a bit up and down of late, but he's a player I like. He's aggressive, he'll be very confident. I think at 42 and he's a decent price in this quarter. He would meet Spieth in the quarterfinals if they both got through. More than hopeful that he will do.
Yeah, I had a Reed Spieth quarterfinal in my mind, which would be fantastic, wouldn't it, given they are fellow Ryder Cuppers and played together.
Yeah, it'd be good to see that, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Can I add my vote to Reed in this section? I agree with all that Mike said. I've read a few old articles. He was an absolute beast of a match player, wasn't he, at college level? He used to sort of drag a really sort of average team to
I've seen interviews to that effect.
To win, you know, way beyond what they should have been doing, all because of him, basically. So, and you can see how he got all pumped up in a Ryder Cup and he loves it. And I'd take him to beat Spieth if they came together. I know they play together, don't they?
Do they practice together a lot? Yeah.
Well, they play. They're partners, aren't they? Ryder Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think what better motivation to take out Spieth for if you read.
They're not the only decent players in this bracket. Louis Oosthuizen. He's just in the kind of group below Spieth. I thought, and Dustin Johnson and Jimmy Walker is an interesting pairing in their group. Which is the bottom one there.
Could be a tense match there.
Could be an interesting one, that.
I think Afi Barn, that's a pretty handy player. He won the Paul Laurie, didn't he?
He did.
He sixth last week?
Sixth last week. Yeah. I've got a feeling that he might upset the apple cart there.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think it's a tricky bracket, this one, to be fair, but Reed was my pick.
Yeah.
I think he's a decent price at 40s, to be fair.
40-1 Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth 12-1 in that section. Let's move on to the bottom part of that half of the draw.
Are you going that way, are you? All right.
Sorry, I was going down.
No, yeah, that's going more down logical. Then across. Yeah.
We've got Ricky Fowler, Byung-Yun Ahn, Scott Piercy, Jason Duffner in there, Sergio Garcia and Mark Leishman, two names that stand out.
Are you going to read them all out,
in the bottom? I was going to there, I thought, No, better not do that.
Good job.
We've got time constraints here.
Who are you picking there then, Div?
I like Sergio Garcia.
Do you?
Which could be a little bit of a surprise, because I don't think he's caught the eye of many.
Have you watched him put?
Caught the eye of many this week. He's 33-1 in the section. The reason I like Garcia is because, looking at this course from the flyover, this Austin Country Club, it does look like a European style venue, doesn't it? And I know a lot of people have made comment about that on Twitter as well. And Garcia's playing good golf. I mean, his form in Florida, played well in the Honda and well in the Cadillac. And he's got a heck of a lot of match play experience in his time, Sergio Garcia.
I agree. He's my pick as well, isn't that?
Is he?
Yeah, just to back you up a little bit there.
Oh, good. It seems like a Spanish setup this week.
It does. Well, you look at his record. He's won the Byron Nelson. He's won at Colonial. He's won in Texas. He clearly likes it there, doesn't he, when it's sort of hard and fast and bouncy and windy. It's like an open where his record's incredibly good. And often you can get sort of dodgy putters winning match play, can't you? I don't know quite why, how it works out. It's like Monty was a brilliant match play player, and yeah, come to majors, he would make putts in Ryder Cups and match play that he wouldn't in stroke play.
Oh, definitely did.
Don't know
Monty.
Quite why, but it's just something that can happen.
If I was picking a winner that you were going to pick in that group, let alone bracket, I wouldn't have picked Garcia for either of you. I thought you'd have both gone for Mark Leishman.
Yeah, he's so popular, isn't he? I mean, he's into 50-1.
Has he been backed in
from
66?
Yeah, he has been very well supported, Mark Leishman. And you can, I suppose, see why, given there's been a flurry of Australian winners, and he plays well in the wind, plays well in Texas as well. So, understandably, I just think we might have an upset. I think Garcia might oust Leishman in that section.
Well, he's favoured to beat him, Dave.
Yeah,
isn't
he is.
To be fair.
Yeah.
But I think Ryan Moore will go well in that group as well, and not so much Lee Westwood probably, but that's a tricky little group, that one. But good luck with your pick there.
Who have you got?
I'm surprised that Dave Tindall hasn't picked this fella. My nap of the week here, I think he's a very good price at 16-1, is Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, close.
He's got he's 10-5 in this event, isn't he? Wins 10, losses 5. Just in amazing form. A whole host of top 10s, including last time out in the Cadillac and the Honda before that. Every stat that you would like. Greens in reg, struts, tee to green, putting, birdie average, everything is there. I think 16s is a very good price for it. I thought he'd be a bit shorter than that myself.
I think he'll get through to play Garcia. That would be how I would have.
I would settle for that.
It out.
I'm not going to lie. I have to say, I think this is probably the weakest quarter, the weakest bracket.
Do you think so?
I looked at it, and that was I just looked and I thought, well, Byung, I can't even say his name, Byung Hoo Ahn. Yeah. He'd have been my best outsider if he wasn't playing in the same group as Fowler. I think he could go well this week. He won the national championship, didn't he, in America? I think he could be a decent match player at the amateur event. Yeah.
First time here, I suppose, isn't first time in the tournament.
In the tournament, but match play, yeah. He so I'm probably have a little saver on him actually, but you'd have to say that's a good draw, Pearcey, Duffner and Ann, wouldn't you?
The only one I'd say that I wanted to throw in as an outsider there is Duffner. Jason Duffner, because he's not got incredible an incredible match play record, but he did win the career builder on a Pete Dye design earlier on in the season, and that performance at Doral really stands out to me when the Bombers were all dominating and he still finished tied 11th. I had Duffner squeaking through in that section.
I don't think he'll put well enough.
Maybe not.
I think when push comes to shove, he won't put well enough. Yeah. I think I like you. I think he's already had a good year, and I think he'll have an even better one. But I would say that bracket, because Bubba is slightly, you have to have a slight question about Bubba potentially match playing. Has he had a slight injury as well? Lewis, something, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's had a back problem, hasn't he?
So otherwise, I'd always like him. But I think that's the quarter to have a bracket to have a bet in myself. And Fowler at 16 stands out a mile to me. You know, those stats, he's the key stats, he ticks every one, and he's in an amazing form, and he's a good match player. And if it's windy, that'll suit him as well.
Okay.
So he'd be my strongest bet of the week.
Fowler for Mike and Dave, you're with me with Garcia.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to bracket number 3, which is the top bracket in the second half of the table, and the likes of Jason Day in here. Jason Day is 12-1 second favourite. Justin Rose and Matt Kuchar towards the bottom of that bracket, along with Danny Willett and Brooks Koepka. Some big names in here. Dave, I'll let you lead us off in this bracket.
This is the bracket where all my Francis are sort of loaded in there.
This is the toughest bracket.
Yeah. Like Jason there, somehow I can't see him losing a match somehow. But then again, I really want to back Paul Casey, but they're in the actual same group, same bracket. So that's frustrating. And I also think Danny Willett will run a huge race. There's nothing to suggest he won't. He was third in this last year.
Got a great match play record.
Yeah, great match play record.
But this bracket's littered with players. I mean, I think McDowell could go well in the group that you're talking about, to be honest.
He's a great match player. You know what? I've got G-Mac coming through that group.
I might have as well, bizarrely enough. Against Day and Casey, you know, so...
Yes, I mean, have you...
That is a really tough group.
We can't even agree on the group.
No, it's tough. But, you know, you've got Schwartzel in form in that group. In that bracket, Willett. Kepka, Horschel, I think, could have an interesting week. Billy Horschel was very close for me. And then my tip is Matt Kuchar, but it's a tough bracket, isn't it?
It is. I've actually got one of my bets in this bracket, and it's Billy Horschel. I just thought 100-1 was a really nice price for Horschel here.
It is.
I know the usual style in these events is to pick a strong match player performer who has Ryder Cup or President's Cup experience, but I just like Horschel around this track. He talks all the time about his love of Pete Dye design golf courses. Remember when he was mentioning Sawgrass, and he went well at Sawgrass last year when we both picked him and finished in a tie for 13th. But last year in Texas, in the Texas Open, finished in a tie for third, so he's got recent form in the state as well. But he's made his last five cuts without doing anything spectacular, Horschel. But you look at his record in this event. Last year, went to 20 holes and was eventually beaten by McIlroy, who went on and won the event. 2014, the only man that beat him was Jason Day, went on and won. That was after 22 holes. I just think his desire in match play is unquestionable, and I thought 100-1 was a really big price on Horschel.
It is, Dave. He was very high on my list before the groups came out. I just thought that was another little nasty little foursome. Willett, Koepka, maybe not Van Zyl so much, but those top two are players who could easily win, aren't they? You know, so I went a kind of group below where Kuchar's got Rose. That's going to be a no easy number, to be fair, but Lahiri, who went close for you, Dave, last week, and Gomez. Well, the bottom two, I'd fancy him to beat. If he can beat Rose, he'll go through, would be my view on Matt Kuchar. He might well then have to face Billy Horschel. He'll have a tough second round if he does get through, won't he? Because the force above is very decent, I have to say. But that was just, I'd agree with you on Horschel. But Kuchar, who's ever so good in this event, won it previously. 18-6 is his record. Just, he missed the cut at Bay Hill, which is a bit worrying, but he was 11th in the Valspar. I think he's just coming back to a bit of form. He was 8th in the Northern Trust as well. He's got Rose to beat, but he's a very good match player, Matt Kuchar. This course should suit him, I think.
He could output Rose as well, because Rose hasn't been fantastic on the greens recently.
That would be on my hope. And again, if it's windy, Kuchar, pretty decent in the wind.
Dave?
I never feel the same Billy Horschel love that you two do.
No, you're not buying into
before.
That.
Yeah. There's far too many good players to knock him out in that group. I'm going to go with Casey. You know, I'm going to take a chance that he will beat Jason Day. And Casey's one win in the States did come in Texas when he won the Houston Open. I think it was after the Masters or before.
Yeah, but it'll be one week before, maybe?
Yeah.
Or the schedule's changed, hasn't it, subsequently?
But, yeah, so he has won in Texas. He's in great form at the minute. Got a great match play record. We've seen him in Ryder Cups. Seen him get a hole in one in a Ryder Cup. He just seems to have that sort of character that.
So, are you having two bets in the players in that group?
Why two?
Are you doing Casey and Day?
No, I'm going to decide that Day, because of the prices, is beatable.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Day's 12-1 and Casey's 28.
It was kind of, I don't know, a free bet, but as we're picking I will pick Casey because he can get 28-1, because I guarantee if he beats Day, then his price is going to shorten considerably. He's still got some tough people to beat, Danny Willett being one of them, but I think Day might do this.
Okay. Jason Day there for Dave. Paul Casey.
You are confusing us, Dave, to be fair. You see, you couldn't see Dave being beaten. Yeah.
Paul Casey.
What is it, Dave?
Paul
Casey, yes.
Paul Casey in that top group.
Jason Casey. Paul Casey.
Paul Casey in that top group for Dave. Mike's going with Matt Kuchar, and I'm taking Billy Horschel in that top group. Let's move on to the final section here. The likes of Adam Scott, who's obviously been in incredible form in this section, Zach Johnson and Rory McIlroy in the bottom part of that section. I've got one of my stronger bets in this section. Mike, what about you?
I've gone for an outsider here.
Okay, and Dave?
Yeah, I think I might have the same person as you, although I do think if you don't knock out Rory early, you're in trouble. I think if he gets through a couple of rounds, he might be a build-up head of steam and he won't be stopped.
What's your opinion on McIlroy, just before we get stuck in, Mike?
In this event, he's very good in match play, probably just not playing quite well enough to lure me in terms of his overall game at this point. He has got a fairly good draw, though, hasn't he?
I think he's got a doddle of a group, to be honest.
Yeah.
It looks like a belting group for him. McIlroy.
We say that, but actually over 18 holes, we've said many times before in this, they can all beat each other over 18 holes, aren't they? The gap is so tight that, you know, sometimes what looks like an easy draw isn't, you know.
I do like Smiley
Kaufman. Well, haven't you?
Smiley Kaufman's been playing some fantastic golf as well, and you look at his sort of MO, the way he just drives the ball long and puts incredibly well.
Yeah.
If he's on, he's got the potential to knock McIlroy out in that group.
I suppose with Rory, if you look at his round scores, like last weekend in Florida last week, 75-65, you'd be better off with a pair of 69s, wouldn't you? So he's throwing in bad rounds, but I just think the change of format might get his head right a little bit more.
What's your pick here, Dave, in this section?
But that said,
Rory Scott.
I just think, again, we're back to prices. He's got a big chance, but 10-1, nah, not in a match play. Same reason why I don't want to eventually go with Day at 12s. I'm going to go with Brandon Grace.
Yeah, me too.
For, I'm sure, the same reasons. Was he 5-for-5 in the President's Cup?
Yep.
Brilliant in all the big events last year in the majors. I just think he's got a big one in him. He's got that sort of spiky, pugnacious character, hasn't he, where he just loves a bit of match play, a bit of head-to-head. And he's a price, isn't he? What have we got? 40-1, we've got Brandon Grace.
Yeah.
So I just think four times the price of Rory, and, you know, it's a decent price because there's other people like Scott, but Scott's record is poor in this event for whatever reason. I just think he's the value, and he's a player who, bit between the teeth, he could really get going, couldn't he?
Yeah. 2 wins in 6 in this event, is that right?
Yeah, that he's not got a great record in the event. That's absolutely spot on.
But maybe it was more where the event was played. I don't know.
Yeah, I like the track for him, definitely. Yeah. I think if the wind blows, he's going to be a factor.
Yeah.
Because he can control the ball flight. We saw that in Qatar at the end of January, where the wind blew and he came out on top. It is about time he made his mark, I think, on American soil.
Yeah.
And this is the sort of course. I like the group for him as well. We've talked about Rory's group at the bottom. I don't think this Grace group is that much stronger.
I thought it was a pretty easy group, one of the easier ones, that one.
Well, I've got a pick in this group.
Oh, have you?
I've gone for Chris Kurtz, my pick here, who is playing pretty well in this match plays. He's got a couple of wins to his name. Was 12th last week at Bay Hill, which is the first bit of proper form he's had in a little while. But I just... I think Kirk's a bit overpriced at 150-1. I agree this group isn't great, but I don't think Grace is playing that well either. Yeah, he should win it probably, but he's no certainty in the by on current form. Knox Lingworth didn't play very well last week, let me down. So Kirk, with that 12th at Bay Hill, the fact that he's got a tour win amongst his 4 tour wins in Texas, he won the Colonial.
Yeah.
I think he's... when he gets going, he's someone who can go low, he can shoot lots of birdies. I think Chris Kirk at 150-1 could give us a run for our money.
Okay, Chris Kirk at 150-1, and myself and Dave going with Brandon Grace at 40-1 in the market there.
I think Zach Johnson in the other group, I thought someone might have mentioned him. He's a good player, isn't he? And he's got every chance of playing well here, I think.
Yeah, I've got
not Fancy Adam Scott.
I've got him coming through with Zach Johnson to play Rory.
Have you done your brackets?
I've done my bracket. My bracket's all done. I've got Zach Johnson coming through that group. Adam Scott
in very good form.
Yeah, he's in fantastic form, isn't he, at the moment? I just get the feeling he's been in contention that much, and he didn't do much wrong at Bay Hill last week, did he? Just a couple of stray shots on 18 cost him 5 shots on the week. And if not for those, he'd have been in contention yet again. But he has been in the heat of battle, hasn't he, for three straight weeks? Maybe making it four in a row is a bit much.
Yeah, I think maybe in Texas it helps him because of all the Aussie connection. He's won. Did he win the Texas Open? I think he won that with a normal putter as well before he went to the long one.
Oh, did he?
I just think maybe this is the way he might just have a dip before building again to the Masters, maybe.
Okay, let's recap the section picks and then we'll get our overall picks for this for this week. Mike, who have you got from each bracket?
Reed, Fowler, Kuchar, Kirk.
Okay, I'm going Spieth, Garcia, Horschel, and Grace for my four.
Okay, I'm going Reed, Garcia, Casey, and Grace.
Very good. And let's get the overall picks then, Mike. Who are you staking your money on this week?
Well, my nap would be Ricky Fowler. I think at 16-1, he's a good price. Probably my second best bet would be Patrick Reed. I'll probably back all four of the ones I picked, to be fair. But given there's three of us, if we're just talking...
Yeah, just for podcast purposes, I suppose.
Yes. For podcast purposes, I'd probably have Reed as my second bet. But, I will be backing the other two as well, Kuchar and Kirk, if I'm being honest.
I'm going with Brandon Grace and Billy Horschel, both a point each way at 40-1 and 100-1 respectively, as my two bets this week. Dave?
Yeah, I've kind of got three, but I'll probably drop Grace. You've got him.
So, okay.
But I will go with Patrick Reed. I just think he's brilliant in this format. And I will go with Paul Casey for similar reasons. Yeah. And he's in great form.
And we're moving ever closer to the Masters. Just 2 weeks away, folks.
We are.
We've got the Shell Houston Open next week. Make sure you get your bets on by Wednesday for this event. It is a Wednesday to Sunday event, the Dell Match Play. And remember, you can follow us all on Twitter, at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. And we'll be back next week and looking forward to the Masters as well, which we'll have a big special podcast on the Masters coming up for you as well. Thank you, Mr. Grenham.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, Dave Tindall.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you download this podcast either via audioboom.com or you can check us out on iTunes as well. Just type in William Hill to subscribe. Make sure you follow us all on Twitter, and we'll be back next week. Good luck with your bets on the WGC Dell Match Play Championship.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.